man. From the creation of the world to Noah's flood, there was 1,656 years. That whole period of history is summarized in just the first six chapters of the Bible. 1,656 years, and it's summarized in just six chapters of Genesis. While reading these early chapters of this book, we can piece together a little bit of the jigsaw that shows us what that age was like. Particularly if you read chapter 4, you discover that it was an age of great advancement. An age of great sin. And an age when the Lord, largely speaking, was rejected. And yet as you read these chapters, you not only discover that it was an age of great advancement in various ways, and an age of sin, yet the Lord still had a people. Because in reading chapter 4 and chapter 5, you discover that as God looked down from heaven upon that age, the people fell into one of two categories. In chapter 4, we have recorded for us the line or the descendants and the followers of Cain. Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, who murdered his brother, who rejected the Lord and went out to become a stranger and a wanderer in the world. And he started these great building programs, built great cities, but he rebelled against God. As God looked down, he viewed the line and the descendants of Cain. They were sinful. They were worldly. They were rejectors of God. They were taken up with the world and with sinful pleasures and sinful ways. But then as you end chapter 4 and come into chapter 5, you have the line of Seth. Look at the end of chapter 4. It tells us in verse 25, Adam knew his wife, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, saith she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And it tells us that when Seth bore his son Enos, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And as you read chapter 5, you read the descendants of Seth, and you discover that in the one chapter, you have the descendants of Cain, who were worldly, sinful reprobates, who rejected the Lord, lived for time and for the world and for sin. And then you come into chapter 5, and you discover you had the line of Seth, those that called upon the name of the Lord, that worshipped the Lord, that lived for the Lord, and died in the Lord, and went to glory. And though many thousands of years have passed, I want to remind each one of us this morning, young and old, as God looks down from heaven, He still only sees two types of people. There's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. There's the line of Cain and there's the line of Seth. There's the saved and there's the lost. There's the godly and the ungodly. And as in the days before the flood, you were either of the line of Cain, spiritually speaking, or you were of the line of Seth, spiritually speaking. So today, you are either of Christ or you're of your father, the devil. You're either of the Lord and His people or you're of Satan and the world. The question is, which line are you off? As you read through these chapters, you discover that there are only a number of men who come to prominence, both in the line of Cain and in the line of Seth. And in Seth's line, really only two men are picked out, that their lives and the details of their lives are delved into. I'm referring, of course, to Noah as one of them, but Enoch is the other. And out of all these men from Seth and Enos and all of their line, only two were given any real detail or information on, Noah and Enoch. And over the next number of weeks, I want to focus on this man called Enoch. You'll see in verse 22, Enoch walked with God. Now, there are three books in the Bible that give us information on Enoch. In Jude, way at the end of the New Testament, and Jude verse 14, we're given information about Enoch's witness. We'll come to that next week. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, we're given information about Enoch's withdrawal from the world and how God took him directly to heaven. We'll come to that in 2 weeks' time. But in Genesis chapter 5, we're given some information about Enoch's walk. That's what I want to focus on this morning. Taking verse 22 as my text, and Enoch walked with God. The modernist, the skeptic, the modern atheist tells us the Bible has no relevance for 21st century living. Brethren and sisters, I want to remind you that from the very earliest pages in Genesis, this book is relevant to us all, and is particularly relevant to the believer. Enoch walked with God, and every New Testament believer is to walk with the Lord. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, he said in Colossians 2 verse 6, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You have received Jesus as your Savior. You have believed in Him to the saving of your soul. Therefore, you are to walk in Him. You are to walk with Him. You are to walk by Him. And therefore, you can see that in Enoch's life and in Enoch's walk, Enoch walked with God. There's lessons for you and for me, for those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. What therefore can we learn of Enoch's walk that is relevant to our life and our walk with and for the Lord? I want you in verse 22 to notice, firstly, the commencement of Enoch's walk. We always say, and we were taught it in Bible college, to pay attention to detail and not to miss a single word. And in verse 22, there's one word that tells us so much about the commencement of Enoch's walk with God. And Enoch walked with God after. There's the word that tells us so much about Enoch and his walk with God. He only began to walk with God after he begat, or after the birth of Methuselah, his son. You see, Enoch didn't start his life walking with the Lord, and none of us do. The Apostle Paul reminded the church at Ephesus of this very fact. He said, in time past, Ephesians 2 verse 2, in time past, ye, those that were saved by grace, those that were redeemed by blood, those that professed the Lord as their Savior. He said, in time past, before you were saved by grace, before you were redeemed by blood, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. In other words, you lived your life according to the advice, the counsel, the ways of this world, This world says, eat, drink, and be merry, for today you live, tomorrow you die. This world says, you've only one life and it's short, make the most of it and just live for the moment. In time past, she walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who dictates, as it were, the general ways of this world among the sinful and the ungodly. It's the prince of the power of the air. It's the devil. He's the god of this world. And Paul was reminding those in Ephesus that before they were saved, they walked according to the course of this world, after the dictates of the devil, the great tyrant and enemy of mankind. And Enoch was no different. He was born in sin. He might have only been the seventh generation from Adam. But when Cain and Abel were born, they were born in sin because Adam was a sinner when they were born, conceived. Born in sin. And just because he was the son of Adam didn't mean he was right with God or saved. Grace does not run in race. It does not run in the natural bloodline. No, the Lord singled Seth out and he saved him. And then those who came after him, God's grace was upon. And Enoch was one of them. But Enoch was born in sin. He was shaping in iniquity, walking in the ways of the world. But something happened. Something happened at the birth of Methuselah. His son at 65 years of age. And of course, before the flood, men lived much, much longer than they do now. 65 years, his son was born. And something happened at that point that Methuselah began to walk with God. What happened? I believe that God revealed himself to Enoch in the birth of his son. Methuselah was born 687 years after creation. You can take this chapter, and I'm just telling you how you can do it. Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. Verse 3, you'll see that in chapter 5. And then we're told constantly after that what age these other young children were born. And so you can work it out that 687 years after Adam was formed, Methuselah was born. We are told that Methuselah lived 969 years. He was the oldest man that ever lived, and there was a reason for it. If my maths are correct, and I don't know how many times I've told you from this pulpit, mathematics was not my strong point, but if my maths are correct, then Methuselah died 1,656 years after creation. And Methuselah's name means when he dies, it shall be sent. And when you do the mathematics of this chapter, you will discover that Methuselah died the very year the flood came. The very year the flood came to this world, Methuselah died. And his name means, when he dies, it shall be sent. And I believe at the time of his birth, God revealed to Enoch, Methuselah's father, that because of the wickedness of the age and the sin of the line of Cain and their outright rejection of God, and there, it's a wonderful study, these chapters, and I don't have time, and it's not my purpose to go into it this morning, but what did the line of Cain do? They not only completely rejected God, they tried to reverse God's natural order of things. My friends, we can see it all around us today. That's what they're doing today. They're seeking to work against God's natural order and reverse it. I tell you, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, for as it was in the days of Noah, and Noah lived in those days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. But I believe that when Methuselah was born, God revealed Himself to Enoch. Told him that when that child would die, judgment would come upon the world for sin. We can work out that Noah was born 1,056 years after creation. Genesis 7 verse 10 tells us that the flood came in the 600th year of Noah's life, 1,656 years after creation. The same year that Methuselah died, that flood came. God revealed it to Enoch at Methuselah's birth, and he was told to name his son that name for a particular reason. And at that time, though Enoch had not been walking with God, though Enoch had not had a relationship with God, and God revealing these things to him, I believe he trusted, he believed in God, and that conversion, he began to walk with the Lord. And it teaches us this, that you cannot walk with the Lord unless you've been converted. You cannot walk with the Lord unless He has revealed Himself to you and you have believed and trusted in Him to the salvation of your soul. I wonder today, has God revealed Himself to you, revealing that there's judgment coming for sin? Revealing that God will judge iniquity. And just as Noah built that ark as a shelter and a safe place for him and his family in the animal kingdom, Jesus Christ is the only ark that will save you from coming judgment. And when you believe and trust and rest in Him for the salvation of your soul, then you can begin to walk with God. Walking with God starts at conversion. And that's when Enoch began to walk with the Lord. I want to move on this morning. And I want to note some characteristics of his walk with the Lord. What does it mean? What does it mean to walk with God? Well, the term comes from a figure of speech, from the example of two walking together or going for a walk together down a particular path or roadway. And when we consider these statements, Enoch walked with God, verse 22, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. We have to consider what it means to go on this type of a walk, to consider what it means to actually walk with the Lord. And from some other scriptures, we can piece together what it means to walk the one with the other. I want you to turn in your Bible to a couple of references. Turn over to Amos chapter 3. Walking together, the first thing that is required is consensus or agreement. Amos chapter 3, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. And at the Amos chapter 3, and it's the verse 3, the question is asked, can two walk together except they be agreed? Just let me pause and say a little word to the younger folk here. In searching and seeking out a life's partner, find one you're in agreement with. Marriage is a relationship for life. It's a walking together, a journeying through life. And if you're not in agreement with your husband or your wife, it's not going to be a happy marriage. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And in seeking a partner for life, seek one that you will be in agreement with. And the idea here is of two walking together, going on a journey, and they're side by side. And unless they agree, they're not going to walk together. As I thought about that during the week, I was reminded of what Brother Robert McConnell said last week. He talked about as he got older, began to people watch. I don't like that phrase, people watching. I'd rather just say observing. Because people go about their business and you never take them under your note. But then maybe something happens and you observe what's going on. And maybe you've been out for a walk. And maybe there's a couple, a man and a wife, and maybe a couple of children, and they're walking together, and all of a sudden one turns and one walks the other direction. They've had a disagreement. They've had a wee bit of a tiff. They've had an argument while they're walking together, and one of them has decided, I'm no longer walking beside, and they're turning the walk off in the other direction. You know why? Because they haven't agreed in something. And it illustrates the point well. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And Enoch could walk with God because he was brought to the place where he agreed with God. And my friends, it's not a case of God agreeing with us or God agreeing with Enoch. It's a case of us being brought to the place where we are in agreement with God. And it's only as we're brought into agreement with God that we can agree with His laws. We can agree with His ways. We can agree with His justice. We can agree with His holiness. We can agree with His judgment. It's only then that we'll walk with God. Tell me this, are you in agreement with God today? Because it's only in agreement with Him that we'll walk with Him. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 24. I want you to see another characteristic of walking with God. Consensus is the first, or agreement. We must be in agreement with Him. But Luke chapter 24 in the verse 17, here's another characteristic of walking with the Lord, and it's the word communication. Tells the story, Luke 24, of the two disciples, and they hadn't grasped or believed the message of the resurrection as it was related to them. And they're walking that evening away from Jerusalem towards Emmaus, and an unknown stranger comes and joins them. And it says, and he said to them, now the two of them, they're walking together from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and the stranger to them, it's the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 17, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? There's one of the characteristics of walking together. When you go on a walk, it might be with your husband or your wife, it might be with a friend, and you're walking through the forest, or you're walking along the towpath, or by the river, or along the beach, or someplace, and you're walking together, you're communicating the one to the other, you're talking. It's natural. And as we walk with our friends or our loved ones, we'll chat. We'll chat about what's going on in our lives. We'll chat maybe about what's going on in the world. We'll chat about our aspirations, our desires, our plans. Maybe we'll chat about something that has taken place within the community. But it's natural as we walk the one with the other. And we'll talk. And the Lord's acknowledging that. He's saying these two disciples, as they walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they were talking about what had taken place over the last number of days. And their conversation made them sad. They were talking the one with the other. And Enoch walked with God because God communicated with him and he communicated with God. And so it is with us. We will walk with God when there is communication between us and God and between God and us. God communicates with us through His Word. In these last days He has spoken unto us through His Son, whom He hath made heir of all things, and the revelation of Jesus Christ is complete, and it's in this book, and that's why it's so important to read your Bible. And to read it every day, to read it as often as possible, to meditate upon it, to run it through our mind, and ever be considering the Bible and the Word of God, because it's how God speaks to us, it's how God leads us, and how God directs us, and how God communicates with us. He communicates to us through His Word, and we communicate with Him through prayer. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Call on me, and I will answer. We unburden ourselves. We cast our burdens. We express our joy and our thanksgiving to God through prayer. Child of God, are you reading the Word? Are you searching the Scriptures? And are you regularly praying unto the Lord? For that's what it means to walk with God. Consensus and agreement. To be in agreement with all that God is for and all that God is against. Communication, to talk with Him, to speak to Him, and Him to speak to us. While you're in Luke 24, just put your eye up two verses to verse 15. Here's another. There's more characteristics, but we'll finish with this one. And it's closeness. There's consensus, there's communication, and there's closeness. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, they're walking, they're reasoning, why has Jesus died? What's the purpose of His death? What about these messages of the resurrection? And they don't understand. They're communing one to another, and they're reasoning, and it says Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. He drew near to them. He could have stayed at a distance and walked well behind them. He could have went before them quite a distance. But to walk with them, He had to draw near unto them. To communicate with them, He had to draw near to them. And He went with them in nearness and in closeness. And when we are walking, going on a natural walk with a loved one or a friend, we don't walk away ahead. We don't lag way behind. I had to learn that. I learned it before I got married. A wee word to the younger men, the ladies don't like you walking away on ahead of them. They like you to walk beside them, close to them. And so it is. When the Lord walks with us and we walk with Him, there's a nearness and a closeness. Draw nigh to God, James said, and He will draw nigh to you. You know, Christianity is not just about a head knowledge. It's not just about ticking certain boxes that we believe this or we do this or we don't do that and we don't believe that. It's about a personal relationship and a close relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And when we are walking with Him in the reality of this experience and relationship, there will be a nearness and a closeness to Jesus Christ. Enoch walked with God. He was in agreement with the Lord. He communicated with the Lord. He was close to the Lord. And I'm saying to you, those things mark out the life of one who is walking with the Lord. It starts at conversion. When God reveals Himself to us in the gospel and we trust in Him, and then it manifests itself in these characteristics. Are you walking with the Lord? I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 5 and notice the final thought for this morning, the commencement of His walk, the characteristics of a walk with the Lord, but notice the continuation of His walk. It tells us, verse 22, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And the 300 years are mentioned, and I believe it's important because He didn't just walk with the Lord for 1 year or two. He walked with the Lord all the years of his life. Because it tells us in verse 23 and 24, all the days of Enoch were 365 years prior to the flood. He was just a young fella. He was taken before his father died. But Enoch, and we'll say more about this in 2 weeks' time, he was only one of two men in the Bible who did not die. But rather God took him directly to heaven at 365 years of age. The point that I'm stressing in closing this morning is this, that from the time of his conversion at 65 years of age, that's the time I believe he came to know the Lord in salvation. From that time until the Lord took him, he walked with God. His walk with the Lord was consistent. His walk with the Lord was constant. It was a lifelong relationship with the Lord that he had entered into. And I have no doubt there were sinful temptations. There were discouragements and trials along the way. He lived in a very difficult and a sinful age. We'll see more of that next week. But Enoch was not deterred. His walk with God was constant, continual, right up until the day the Lord called him home to heaven. Dear child of God, that ought to be the attitude in our hearts. The children sang last Lord's Day morning, and the story was told of the converted man in India. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And friends, we should settle, those of us who are redeemed, born again, saved by grace, we should settle in our hearts that we're going to endeavor to walk with the Lord until the day and hour He takes us home. No turning back, no giving up, no compromise with sin and the ungodly age in which we live. No turning back. We'll have that consistent walk with the Lord where we'll worship Him, we'll work for Him, we'll serve Him, and we'll witness for Him right to the end, whatever befalls. That was Enoch's walk with God. And as we who are called in Christ Jesus in this age, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so the exhortation comes to your heart today. So walk ye in Him. May the Lord help us and enable us to